You can turn with me now in your copy of the Scriptures to the book of Romans, the letter of the Apostle Paul to the church at Rome. We are in the sixth chapter. As we make our way through the entire book, Romans chapter 6 has some profound truth in it, particularly necessary for the believer to know who we are, our standing in Christ. Our text today is verses 8, 9, and 10. Romans 6, 8, 9, and 10. Now if we died with Christ, we believe that we shall also live with Him, knowing that Christ, having been raised from the dead, dies no more. Death no longer has dominion over Him. For the death that He died to sin once for all. But the life that He lives to God. There was one time that writer Ernest Hemingway was asked to write a full story in 6 words. Well, he gave it an attempt. But you know, there's a lot of details left out in 6 words. But there's a lot of stories that when you think of them, you could summarize the essence of that story in 6 words. In the spirit of that, there are those who have edited a compilation of 6-word statements of people, some obscure, some very well known. And people have offered a summary of their lives or what they feel that it is that defines them in 6 words. They've asked people to distill their own life story into this brief statement. And it's compiled in a book that's called It All Changed in an Instant. Founding editors Larry Smith, along with Rachel Ferschleiser. And here are some of them, some of the stories that people tell of their lives. This one by Becky Lee, found on Craigslist, table, apartment, fiancé. Alzheimer's, meeting new people every day. Family portrait, everyone smiles but me. I picked passion, now I'm poor. Normal person becomes psychotic on Twitter. It's very contemporary. Yale at 16, downhill from there. It's another one. Full circle, morgue tech becomes obstetrician. Very interesting one. 2 marriages, the wrong one died. Marriage, children, empty nest. Now what? I think here's one that's very telling. I mean, this is the statement that provides the essence of your life, right? Here's one 6-word statement. Not quite what I was planning. What is the essence of life? I hope to conclude today offering a 6-word statement that is clearly ours from the Scriptures as revealed to us. And when I say ours, I'm referring to those of us who are in Christ. Because Romans 6 is for those who are in Christ. Because what we have here, as delineated in verses 8, 9, and 10, is that we are united with Christ. How does this happen? When I surrender myself in faith to Jesus Christ as the infinite Son of God, second person of the Trinity, who came to earth like me, a human being, fully human yet fully God, and died in my place to take upon Himself the wrath of God so that I can attain His righteousness, so that I can be reconciled to God and justified, declared righteous before God, not by my own righteousness, but because of His. I am united with Christ, and all of that is true. All of it is true through faith. And when that is true of an individual, we are united with Christ with all of His history, His death and His resurrection. That He died to sin once for all, but also that He lives and that He lives to God. And if I am united with Christ, I was united with Him in His death, and I am also united with Him in His life. The apostle strengthens this also with his statement to Timothy in 2 Timothy 2:11. He says, the saying is trustworthy. It is true. It is trustworthy. In other words, you can count on this. For if we died with Him, we will also live with Him. So there is a logical progression in what he is presenting here. If through faith I am united with Christ in His death, then it follows that I am also united with Him in His life. The life that He lives, and He lives to God. So it is trustworthy to understand, first of all, that I died with Him, and that is history. It's very important that we know our history. For those of us who are in Christ, we cannot forget our history, which is the very reason why the Lord instructed us to remember Him on a regular basis, that we come to the table and we remember that He laid down His life for us. Because through faith, His history becomes mine. I cannot forget that. If I lose sight of that, then I lose grip of who I am here today and how to approach tomorrow. So that is history, and His history becomes ours. But also, if I died with Him, I also live with Him. Because He walked out of the grave. All right? So that means that today He is alive, and if I am united with Christ, I am alive with Him, and I'm united with Him, and therefore, as He lives, I lives. Again, something that the apostle states in another place, Galatians 2:20, I have been crucified with Christ, and I no longer live. But Christ lives in me. In the life that I now live in the flesh, I live by faith in the Son of God who loved me and gave Himself for me. It is His life. So that is a present and a future reality that we have here in this verse. That if I am united with Him in His death, certainly we also shall be in the likeness of His resurrection. What is the essence of live? The word live. The essence of the word live is two words, a preposition and a pronoun. With Him. With Him. You cannot understand the very meaning of life apart from those two words. With Him. It's what you were designed for. It's who you are. With Him. The understanding of that is very clear in the words that Jesus spoke, John 17:3, and this is eternal life, that they may know You, the only true God, and Jesus Christ, whom You have sent. This is eternal life, that they may know You. And it's not just a knowledge of a mental knowledge. It's knowing by experience. It's communing. It's walking with. It's doing life with the person. Knowing God is life. 1 John 1:3. The Apostle John says, these things we've written to you that you may have fellowship with us. And truly our fellowship is with the Father and with His Son, Jesus Christ. You see, that is life. If you are not having fellowship with the Father and with His Son, Jesus Christ, you are being robbed of life. Because apart from that, there is no life. Turn with me to Revelation chapter 21, because this gives us the conclusion of the whole matter. This is it. This is what all life is headed towards. This is the intent of creation. Revelation 21. Verse 3, "And I heard a loud voice from heaven saying, Behold, the tabernacle of God," that word tabernacle is a dwelling place, "the tabernacle of God is with men, and he will dwell with them, and they shall be his people. God himself will be with them and be their God." That is ultimate reality. That is the intent of all of creation. Is your life heading in that direction? Are you living to God? Either you are or you're not. There's no in between. Okay? So that makes it very clear. That is the essence of life. To live to God is to be alive. To be alive is to live to God. This is what defines death and life, because death means separated from God. And those who choose to be separated from God will have to spend eternity in that state. Abject loneliness and poverty. If they were to write a 6-word statement declaring the essence of their life, the statement would go something like this: on my own and forever alone. That's death. On my own and forever alone. You see, the apostle makes it very clear that Christ died for all, that those who live should live no longer for themselves, but for him who died for them and rose again. You see the contrast between death and life. So as we come back then to Romans chapter 6, now if we died with Christ, we believe that we shall also live with him, understanding that we are made for him. So something that you need to constantly know and understand is repeat to yourself this statement: I was made for him. Apart from him, I cannot succeed. I cannot find satisfaction. I cannot be that all that I was intended to be. Not possible. Can't happen. Because you were made for him. And apart from him, you cannot be satisfied. You cannot succeed. So not only were you made for him, but you were designed for relationship. Because God is person. He's not a force. He's not a concept. He's not a physical destination, per se. Like, I have arrived into the building. God is person. And you were designed for him, meaning that you were designed for relationship. You were designed for the very purposes of communing and interacting with him. Walking with him and fellowshipping with him. You see, therein is life. That's what life is. With him means life. Apart from him means death. And so we see here, now, verse 9, knowing that Christ, having been raised from the dead, dies no more, death no longer has dominion over him. It's the idea of never dying again. Never dying again. Christ died once. And remember, death means separation. His spirit was separated from his body, but that's really what saved us and what redeemed us, is not so much that his spirit was separated from his body, but that he, his person, was separated from his Father. That was the death that he took in our place. That separation. He did that once for all. That's important to understand. John tells us in 1 John 3 that he appeared, Jesus Christ appeared, to destroy the works of the devil. The works of the devil are to separate us from God. It is his intent to separate us from God, or to keep us separated from God. But when we come to God in faith, it is his intent to separate us from him by distracting us away from God's purposes and his character. Jesus Christ came to destroy the works of the devil. Now, this word destroy is a very interesting word, because it actually means, when you think of destroy, you think of something being just blown up and obliterated, right? The idea here of destroy is to untie or release. That's the word that is used here. For example, in the Gospels, it is one of the parables that is recorded is Jesus was a man was taken to Jesus who was deaf. And he had a speech impediment because of that. So his tongue was tied up. In other words, that's how people refer to the speech impediment like that. And Jesus healed the man. He restored his hearing. And then he says this, he loosened the impediment of his tongue. That's the word, loosened the impediment of his tongue. That's the word, same word that's used here for destroyed. Jesus appeared to destroy the works of the devil, to unbound those who unbind, those who are tied up and bound and in bondage to the one who would separate them from God. You see, it's a whole system. We are bound up by the old man alienated from God. So what Jesus did, and this is going back to the illustration that I've used before, Jesus came to perform surgery, to surgically remove the old man from you and me as we surrender ourselves in faith to Christ. The old man is surgically removed. That's death, separation. And as we look back then, verse 6, knowing this, that our old man was crucified with him, that the body of sin might be done away with. And that word done away with means rendered inoperative, disengaged, disemployed, fired, sidelined. And that is true. And Jesus came to do that. So the old man was done away with. And so the fact is that he died to sin once for all. He died to sin once for all. Now there's a difference here. That once for all actually is just one word. Once for all. He died to sin once for all. And that's as opposed to once upon a time he died to sin. No. He died to sin once and it never has to happen again. Understand what I'm saying there, please. He died to sin once, and it never has to happen again. Because it's good for what he did is good for always. Now, listen to what I'm saying there. Jesus didn't have to die. He doesn't have to die to sin again. But here's the beautiful truth of that. Because he died to sin, I am united with him. That means I don't have to experience that death that he did. Because he already has. I am united with him in his death. It's kind of like There's a lot of people refinancing today, and there's a lot of mortgage companies out there, and one of them is Quicken Loans, and one way that they invite people to use them for their mortgages is that they make this offer. You get your mortgage through us once, and only once will you pay lender fees, origination fees, and closing costs, and all that, only once. After that, you come back, you buy your next house, or you refinance your house, you will never pay those fees again. Works. That's that idea. Never have to do it again. When Jesus died on the cross, three words he said it all. What was it? It is finished. They weren't just nice words, were they? It is finished. It's done. The work is done. That's why we refer to the finished work of Christ. Because he died to sin. And the idea that he died to sin was the fact that he died, he's separated, he had to be separated from the Father. And to experience that alienation, that wrath of God, the separation from the Father, he did that once, and that never has to happen again. Not for him, not for you and me. That's good news, isn't it? You see, that's what's true about me. So, here's what he's saying there. Since Jesus Christ experienced death, that separation, okay? Since he experienced death once for all, he released us. Released us. You see, we were bound to the necessity of being separated from God because God is absolutely holy and we are not. So he released us, and that's the word destroyed, that he might destroy the works of the devil, 1 John 3:8. We have been unbound. Released us from the necessity of having to. In other words, Jesus perfectly and absolutely dealt with sin. You see, that was the necessity of his physical being, that he actually became a human being. didn't give up his deity, but he was fully God and he was fully man. It was necessary for him to do that so that he could represent you and me on the cross. And he's the only one who could. One, because he's infinite. Two, because he's perfect. That kind of qualifies him, don't you think? Okay. In his death, this is a quote by F.F. Bruce, in his death, he dealt effectively and decisively with sin, winning victory, quote, that needs no second fight and leaves no second foe. That's what he's done for us. And so as it says here, then, for the death that he died to sin once for all, but the life that he lives to God. The life that he lives to God. Now remember, we were united with him in his death, but that means, too, we are united with him in his resurrection. That means the life that he lives, I live too. Because I'm united with him. United to him in faith, we live. That's reconciled. That's connected. That's the illustration I used before. That branch brought back into the tree so that it can draw life from the tree and be productive and fruitful. United to him in faith, we live to God. Very, very important words. To God. You see, the essence, like I said before, the essence of live is the two words, with him. And now because I am united with Christ, I live with Christ, therefore I live, what? To God. Very, very important terms. What does that mean? He lives to God and we live with him. That's what it means to be in Christ. The words to God define the direction of our lives. Direction of one's life. What is my life all about? Why am I here? Where am I going? Who am I? Why am I here and where am I going? I live for him. I live to God. That's who I am. That defines me. That too speaks of, first of all, a destination. A destination. My life is moving in a Godward direction because he is my end. Again, that's what I was created for. That was the intent of my creation, that God would be my end. Now, that's not just true in the future, it's true now. That is the definition of my life. Therefore, my life means that I am living in a Godward direction if, in fact, I am living with Christ. Secondly, the direction of one's life defines progress. What does progress mean? Consider your life. Are you making progress in your life? What does that mean? Before you can answer that, you have to know what defines progress. And before you can define progress, you need to define what your destination is. What is the goal? What's the objective? You see, God has provided that for us. What is progress? If my life is defined as living to God, my life is moving in a Godward direction, what's the progress in my life? And because I can define progress, that means that progress is identifiable, it's measurable. Am I living to God? Is my life moving towards him? Thirdly, to God, the definition of one's life defines success. When it's all said and done for you, will you be able to say, I've lived a successful life? If you are not with God, you will not be able to say that. Life was a failure. Today, can you say that? Is your life successful today? Are you living to God? Are you moving towards that goal, that destination? You see, success, we know that it is defined, it is identifiable, it is anticipated. Success means I'm living by design. I was designed for this and I'm living by it. That makes me successful. And it is God who defines that. Not anything else. Not anyone else. Only God. Are you there? Are you on the path to success? Are you living successfully today? You can't live tomorrow, and you can't live yesterday all over again. Are you living successfully today? In a Godward direction. You see, that's what counts. That's what matters. Remember this. How long is your life in this life? In this time-space continuum? So before this, there was eternity. And after this, there will also be what? Eternity. So, in the middle of all of that, what does your life represent? A tiny, tiny little speck. And yet it means so much, doesn't it? Is your life successful? What are you living towards? But this is true of the belief. Because I am with Christ, I am living to God. That's who I am. That defines me. Not only does the idea that I'm living to God, which is the direction of my life, not only does it define my destination, not only does it define progress, not only does it define success, but it also defines what are the setbacks. What are the setbacks? What are the impediments to my success? The distractions, the failures, everything that the Bible calls sin. Because sin is any attitude or behavior that is contrary to the character and purpose of God. Any action or behavior that arises out of that is an impediment to my success, to live to God. I must be right. I must have it my way. I must be fulfilled. Whatever the I must be is. If it's not God in there, that becomes an impediment to the success of my life. Not only does the direction of my life define destination, progress, success, and setbacks, but it also defines priorities. It defines what's important and what's not. And where do we invest our resources and time and energy? Are we investing them in things that are important or in things that are not? The things that are important are defined by His character and His purpose. Standing before 500 men and boys, the St. Louis Cardinals superstar, a three-time MVP, I believe, his name's Albert Pujols. He spoke about being, listen to this, satisfied in Jesus Christ. Satisfied in Jesus Christ. He said this at an event called Manly Night. This was in January 16th at Lafayette Senior High School. He says this, in baseball, every night, there are thousands of people telling me how great I am. That can go to my head really quickly if I don't keep my spirit in check. And then reading Philippians 2:3, it says, let nothing be done through selfish ambition or empty conceit. Pujols told men, quote, one way for me to stay satisfied in Jesus is for me to stay humble. Humility is getting on your knees and staying in God's will. What He wants from me, not what the world wants. What He wants from... What does God want from me? Answer that for me, please. What does God want from me? He wants me. What does the world want from me? What I can do for them. You see the difference? And this is where he finds his satisfaction. So therefore, because he is living to God, he knows how to define not only his destiny, but his success. He knows how to define progress. He also knows how to define the setbacks. He also knows how to define his priorities. Pujol said he prefers to live his life controlled by God and not by his flesh. He says this, "It would be easy to go out and do whatever I want, but those things only satisfy the flesh for a moment." That's perspective. That is perspective. Jesus satisfies my soul forever. You see, that's understanding priorities. That's understanding the big picture, the direction of my life. A man who is not only wealthy, but he has the notoriety and all the time having people telling him how great he is. And yet in that, he finds his satisfaction in Jesus Christ. That is a life that's living to God. Because it's not baseball. Now, in some people's minds, it may be. But to him, it's not baseball that defines him. It's Jesus Christ. And that should be true with any career. It is not your career that defines you. It is not your ability that defines you. It is Jesus Christ. I think that's a great example. And once again, as we read the words of the Apostle Paul in 2 Corinthians 5:15, that those who live should live no longer for themselves, but for him who died for them and rose again. You know, but go back to those six words. A real life story in six words. Done my way, alone forever. That's pitiful. That's sad. That is the theme song of death. Done my way, alone forever. There's a very interesting story that is arising out of the Philippines. One of the chief pastimes in the Philippines is karaoke. I don't know how many of you have done karaoke, but I've not been up there. I just don't know that many songs, for one thing, of the kind that they sing. But something that's developed here in the Philippines, the authorities do not know exactly how many people have been killed warbling the song My Way. Who comes to mind? Who sang My Way? Frank Sinatra, old Blue Eyes himself. Over the years, many fatal fights have been recorded in the context of somebody singing that song in karaoke. The news media includes them in a subcategory of crime dubbed the My Way Killings. There's that many of them surrounding that song. And it really has them wondering, what is it about this song? Is it just because so many people know that song and therefore they sing it more? Or is there something particular about the song? Well, here is an opinion from the owner of a Manila-based singing school. He says this, "I did it my way is so arrogant. The lyrics evoke feelings of pride and arrogance in the singer, as if you're somebody when you're really nobody. It covers up your failures, and that's why it leads to fights." I wonder, I don't know if you like the song or not. Let me read some of the words to you. I planned each charted course, each careful step along the byway, and more, much more than this, I did it my way. Yes, there were times, I'm sure you knew, when I bit off more than I could chew. But through it all, when there was doubt, I ate it up and spit it out. I faced it all and I stood tall and did it my way. Last verse. "For what is a man? What has he got? If not himself, then he is not." Did you get that? To say the things he truly feels and not the words of one who kneels. The record shows I took the blows and did it my way. Yes, it was my way. I'm sorry if you like the song. It's blasphemous. It may be the theme song of a Christless eternity. Romans 6, verses 8, 9, and 10. "If we died with Christ, we believe that we shall also live with him, knowing that Christ, having been raised from the dead, dies no more. Death no longer has dominion over him. For the death that he died to sin once for all. but the life that he lives to God. Do you know the definition of these terms in your life this morning? You can, and that's the beauty of faith in Christ. To have a life that is living to God, you can have the definition of your destination. You can have the definition of progress. You can have the definition of success. You can have the definition of what are setbacks in life. You can have the definition of what are the priorities in my life. If you know that with Christ you live to God. Here's my recommendation for the believer's real life story in six words. Probably some of you have been thinking about it, haven't you? Go ahead, admit it. I'm going to use the words from the Apostle Paul. Live with Christ. Die is gain. That's radical. Live with Christ. Die is gain. Philippians 1. Live with Christ. Die is gain. That encompasses who we are as a believer. Because not only does it talk about the truth about me here and now, but it also talks about and identifies the truth about me beyond the right here, the right now, and where my life is heading. And all of that defines destiny, progress, success, setbacks, and priorities. Live with Christ. Die is gain. That's who we are. Are you there? Can you say that? I hope you can. And if we can, what a joy it is to live. What a joy it is to live.